there, beautiful people. So glad you're listening to the pod this week. Okay, we're going to be giving you a very special sneak peek at the live show that we just had earlier this week out of the London Podcast Film Festival. Why do I keep calling it the London Podcast Film Festival? It's the London Podcast Festival.
Let's just start over, because you said sneak peek and it's already over.
It is like a sneak peek.
I mean, it's an hour. It's more than a sneak.
Okay, but it's a two-hour show.
Fair. You know what? I think this is the pre-roll. You are not going to get the whole episode, but if you still want to check out the full episode, go to Fans High Podcast right now. The show is available until September 12th. We really, really loved all of our special guests. Travel and I had a fantastic show. Travel's mouthing words. Whatever it is, get into the live show. If you haven't listened to the whole thing, go to Fantai Podcast right now and you can get your tickets to check out the full show.
FantaiPodcast.com.
Welcome to Fantai Live, London Podcast Festival, and also sort of from Los Angeles as well.
Yes, 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 for all those folks out there. Okay, this is the podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I am entertainment journalist Travel Anderson.
And I am the other light-skinned champagne poppy that just hosts a podcast, continues to serve on the Freckle Blacks Committee, and did not drop an album this weekend, Jared Hill. Are so excited to be at the London.
Wild already. I'm sorry. I apologize in advance. Okay.
Don't apologize for my brilliance.
I'm sorry.
Listen.
I'm so sorry.
We're so excited to be here at the London Podcast Festival for the first time and doing this show virtually for those of you overseas and for those of you that are watching us around the world. So excited to be here. We've got so much to do in this. In this live show, we've got some supersized segments where we'll be able to get into these conversations and like have a good time. We've also got listener feedback live where we'll hear from y'all about the Fantai that we just did right afterward.
I just wanted to interrupt as normal.
I saw you trying to say something.
Well, you know, I wanted to be nice and, you know, give you space, you know, to do what you do.
Oh, that's something new that we're doing.
Just for today. Just for
today.
Got
it. Okay. Okay.
For the people in London who aren't familiar with us, I just wanted to show a little something different, a little range, if you will.
You wanted to lie to the people. You wanted to lure them in with manipulation. Got it.
It's called marketing. Thank you.
There we go. Got it. We've got lots of special guests. We've got a live AMA where y'all can ask us questions. You can go over to our Instagram at Fantai Podcast and drop in a question for that segment a little bit later. Travel's hair will actually be larger the longer we go.
It's so doing a lot. I'm so sorry.
We will see what happens there. We're going to be joined by Corice, who's going to play a special game with us. You all know him from doing our music on the show. And we're going to get into a pass the popcorn. Should we do it? Or did you want to say anything else or be rude?
You forgot to say that our guest for our Fantai segment is going to be Brittany Luce of For Colored Nerds or The Nod, whichever one you know her from. She's fabulous. We're going to be getting into meme culture today. All right. We're going to talk about why, you know, all of y'all in the hood are running up and down these crates. Okay. And so much more.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's time for us to get into Pass the Popcorn. We have a very special guest. We thought like there was no one else that we could come in and do Pass the Popcorn live for you all. There was nobody but the one, the only, the woman, the myth, the legend, Char Jocelle, who is joining us now. Welcome,
you
Char.
You forgot the moment. Okay.
Yes.
She is the moment. Yes.
We should say,
We are going.
We should say for yes. The people that Pass the Popcorn is the segment that we do on the show, in case you're not familiar, because we know we got some newbies out there. It's where we basically, it's like a Hot Topics type of situation. We talk about whatever the hell y'all are going on about on the social medias. So Char is going to help us do like a little round robin situation for a number of different topics of sorts.
Yes. We're going to get into a bunch of different stories. We're going to do this one Hot Topic style because we're live. We've got Char. We've got so much to talk about. And so first things first, Travel, you wanted to talk about Lil Nas X's pregnancy photo shoot.
Well, I wanted to talk less about the photo shoot itself, because I could care, you know, less. Lil Nas X is a troll. We all know this. Okay, professional troll. He knows what he's doing, and I'm here for it, right? But there's been a lot of conversation that has been, you know, surfaced as a result of this. But also, don't forget, right, we also, there's a lot of, like, reproductive rights conversations going on, you know, over the last few days, because, you know, them folks in Texas being dumbasses and stuff like that. We'll get to that later, don't worry. But go ahead, Jared.
Well, I think that's a really important point. So for those of you that are not familiar, Lil Nas X has a new album called Montero coming soon. And this photo shoot was of the pregnant belly saying, basically, I'm about to birth this baby of this album. What I did not even think about until I started seeing some of the commentary online was folks were feeling a lot of ways about this, saying that it was insensitive or potentially transphobic. And I'm curious what y'all think about that.
Well, so in fairness, I want to start by saying that I was on FaceTime with my mother, and my mother showed me these photos from her Facebook. So I didn't even know this was like an official People magazine. Like, I thought that people were on Facebook, you know, clicking around and messing around. But then, of course, I saw the onslaught of comments that were against this, in all honesty, but particularly from Facebook. But it was interesting to see so many varying perspectives. When my initial reaction to this was much like what Travell just said, like, oh, here goes Lil Nas X again, you know, trolling, maintaining any sort of, you know, relevance for the headlines. But then I did start to see conversations circulating, specifically from trans men, trans masculine identified, and even non-binary people about how this can perpetuate transphobia, while emphasizing that the act, they feel like the act is transphobic, not necessarily, like, it can be mutually exclusive. Like, someone can commit a transphobic act and not be transphobic. But there were a lot of excuses being made for Lil Nas X, like, oh, but he's in the queer community. And it's like, are we still being this dense as it pertains to the topics of, like, homophobia and transphobia? Because it exists. It runs rampant even under that umbrella. So, but I definitely understand, as I've, you know, been clicking around the interwebs and seeing a lot of different talking points, you know, the trans community is not monolithic, but I definitely understand the upset that these photos caused.
Yeah, I was looking at the feedback that I was seeing, and one of the places that I saw that kind of like did a breakdown of why the response was what it was came from Pink Manta Ray on Instagram. And they said simply, unlike Lil Nas X, trans men, non-binary, genderqueer, and trans masculine folks can get pregnant. Lil Nas X's shock factor here only works because people don't think men can get pregnant, but trans men can and do all the time. That is, the joke or sensationalism only works at the expense of trans masculine people. And this was one of those things where I was just like, I had not thought about this. It didn't like ring the bell until I started seeing that and thinking about it. Later on in the post, it says, you know, we don't get laughs or money. We receive death threats and violence when we, you know, are pregnant folks in these situations. And I was like, okay, I hadn't thought about it through that lens, and now I get it. Did either one of you feel like this was offensive, insensitive, or transphobic?
I understand the person's post you just showed. I completely understand what they are saying and how I think the photos and the act, and in particular the response, I think, to Lil Nas X's photos has been rooted in transphobia. And because, right, there are men who can get pregnant, right? There are you know, non-women, I'll put it that way, who can also, you know, carry kids and give birth. And so I get it. Obviously, you know, Nas X didn't intend it, blah 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 blah. He meant it for the jokes, I'm sure. But, you know, sometimes we do things that have adverse effects that we didn't, you know, think about. And I think those is one of those situations. And, you know, I think for me, I'm more interested in the response to the photos than the photos themselves. I think those are the instances where I've seen the transphobia. Those are the instances where I've seen, you know, because as somebody who knows men who have been pregnant, I did not see the photo and laugh at it or like think it was like absurd. You know, I saw it as, you know, as a joke, right? As a, you know, you homophobic motherfuckers think you already have problems with me and my album, so I'm going to do something that bursts your mind even more, and that's by being pregnant, right? And so, but still, like I said, you know, folks feel how they feel, and they not wrong.
I did see that Pink Manta Ray, who made this post, did a follow-up video, actually, with the Black trans men, and they went even more so in depth as to, I guess, the fanti, if you will, of this particular photo. I do agree with Travelle wholeheartedly about the transphobia, with people, of course, masking their transphobia, their homophobia, and the children, how will I explain this to my kids, da, 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 da. And I even was having a conversation with a friend last night who disagreed. This is a cis man who is gay and was like, I don't see the transphobia in this. And I, you know, had to bring up a whataboutism. My mind instantly went to if someone like a Doja Cat put on, you know, a prosthetic penis maybe, you know, and did a photo shoot and what that conversation would maybe look like and how that might make me as a woman who's trans feel. With seeing all of these opinions circulating about something that may be the truth of a lot of our experiences. And so it should be noted. And also when Lil Nas X went to Twitter and said, you know, pregnant women, drop your Cash App. I did notice that he followed up that tweet and said pregnant people with an asterisk. So, you know, with in the name of grace and space, this is someone who's growing up in front of the public eye, who's 22, and who's learning, much like a lot of us are still learning as well. That's just in the name of grace and space.
Amen.
Well, in the name of grace and space and growing up in front of us, let's talk about NeNe Leakes. I want to say, like, my opinion on this, I want to be clear. I feel like there's a little bit of problemasia in it, but it is what it is, right? Obviously, we all know NeNe Leakes from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. We followed her story for many a season. Her husband, Greg, has been her you know, by her side the entire time that we've known NeNe. Over the last couple of years, Greg has been suffering with cancer. And this past week, he lost that battle with cancer. And I'm kind of heartbroken for NeNe. We've talked about NeNe on this show. We reference her very frequently on this show. My heart goes out to her because that is a pain that I do not know. And I think that we all kind of feel that for her. And so we are really, really excited to, like, pour love on her, right? I'm not excited, but, like, you know, we are all kind of doing that in this moment, pouring love into NeNe. But also, I want Bravo to do this funeral. I really do. Like, I want Bravo to do this funeral, and it's a problem. It would be really scandalous for Andy to make this nasty phone call that would be tacky as hell. But, like, tell me you don't want to see this Phaedra-produced funeral at, you know, whatever lecture.
No, I don't, because I don't want to see NeNe grieving. I like seeing NeNe fun. Like I said, when this news was announced, I said, now who gonna honk the horn on their ass with NeNe? You know, toot, toot.
Damn. I want to see Kenya showing up being extra as hell.
No,
I want to see Phaedra collecting cash in the back office. I want Candy to come up and sing something and everyone be a little awkward about it. I want Shamari to show up and people not know who she is. Oh, I want Deshaun Snow to show up and people not know who she is. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see that.
Not season one, season two. You want Lisa Wu to come out too, Jerry? Okay.
Yes. And I want Ed Hartwell to be sitting on the other side of the room. And I want there to be a shot of them like, like, I want to see it.
No, thank you. We don't need to see that. We need to give NeNe her space and her privacy. Her and, what's the son name?
Brent. She has two sons.
But one kind of faded into obscurity, the older one. If you remember back to earlier seasons of Atlanta Housewives, she has an older son who she went. They had cameras at Clark Atlanta University. She was like setting up his dorm and stuff. He went and had, that's who turned her into a glamma. He had a child.
yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Very Judy from Family Matters. Very. Went upstairs and never came back down. Kind of thing. Like, we haven't seen it in years.
Very.
Okay, so wait. Neither one of you would watch this Bravo special?
I would sneak and watch it.
I mean, I would
You would watch it.
I mean,
you would watch it.
I am endeared to Greg Leakes because, like you said, he was by Nene's side with the exception, I think, of two seasons. Remember, she divorced him. She left him. And then they had the marriage special where Nene kept saying bridesmaid.
Right.
So it's one of those things where I'm endeared to Greg because he stayed out of women's business. These are all Atlanta housewives.
Hold on. Wait.
He stayed out of bridesmaid business. And I would watch to he just seemed. And you know what's so funny? I often, back in the day, used to say, I need a Greg Leakes to my Nene Leakes because I'm a bit of a show pony. I need someone that'll support me and just be off in the cut, you know, holding it down.
But still very support me, bitch. There.
Support me, bitch. I just think that all of you would be watching. If I had a watch party, y'all would be here. Yes. And like, and it's a, I mean, also, it's a great way to say like a goodbye and pay respects to Greg, right? Greg has been a part of the Real Housewives of Atlanta franchise since it began. Mm-hmm. And speaking also of, since Travell's hair started growing. But go ahead.
Speaking of, I did just want to take one moment to say my favorite moment from Housewives that that involves Mr. Leakes. And it was, I forget whose Halloween party it was, but him and Nene came. Nene was an exterminator and he was a roach. If you remember, this was around. Oh, we have video. Oh my God.
I don't even want to talk about this bitch.
Come on, live show.
Who pulled this?
Honey, we love being live with video elements that are loading. Amen. I can't. I love the look on Kim's face.
We should
don't you want to see Kim at this funeral?
We should fill in. For those who don't know, there was a whole situation about a roach allegedly in Nene's bathroom.
Kim's daughter, Brielle.
Yes, posted a video allegedly of a water bug or roach or something in Nene's bathroom at a party Nene was having. And it became this whole recurring storyline on the show. And so there was a Halloween party that was happening. And so Nene and Greg dressed up as an exterminator and a roach. And it's everything to be shot.
I mean, I've forgotten about that, but it's... What's that?
I said, them people ain't have roaches. I don't believe it.
Come on. Then again, listen, I haven't lived in Georgia in a long time. I didn't have a roach, but you never know. Okay, so moving on, we all this week got a teaser for the final season of Insecure. I love the theme of it is about reflection and Issa seeing herself in the mirror, as we often see her do in the show. Shar, I can tell that you're getting emotional. Talk to me about what it moved in you. What is it?
It's
talk
just that me, I sweetheart. Have, I'm so invested. If I could show you, I would. I have a huge cardboard poster of Issa and Molly in my living room hanging up that was gifted to me at the season 3 premiere down at Venice Beach. And I'm just so endeared to this show. I feel like there's so many parallels, so many triggering moments, much like most of Black millennials. There's always something that you can relate to, and the fact that it's coming to a close, I have mixed feelings because I do think that it's time. I really do. I honor, you know, it's better to leave on your own terms than to be kicked off. So I do think that it's time, but that promo just did something to me. The piano playing, Issa in the mirror, what she was saying. I just know I'm going to cry. I know I'm going to cry probably every episode, but the finale, I'm likely going to be a mess.
I will say that the last season, the previous season, I should say, season 4, it was the most difficult to watch because you're watching Issa and Molly, like, go through this period where the whole time you're like, but just talk to each other. But like, this is what really happens in relationships, mm-hmm. right? Like with friends who don't speak up, who don't say what they're thinking or feeling. Mm-hmm. And like, it gets awkwarder and awkwarder and awkwarder, right? Like until there's some kind of a catalyst. Yeah. So, okay. I want to know though, what are your predictions for this final season? What do we think is going to happen for Issa and Lawrence and baby mama?
I don't care. I want you to ask about somebody else whose thoughts I really have thoughts about. So go ahead, Shaw.
I don't think that it's going to be the happy ending that people are expecting. I think that Lawrence is going to step up and be a father. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy like Condola gets in a car accident and doesn't make it, and Issa and Lawrence run off into the sunset,
or Issa now they're polyamorous, or now Issa's sticking around.
You know, to be a third parent. Like, no, I do not think that. I think that it's going to be some of the sometimes uncomfortable and unfortunate realities of life where you're ready to, you know, circle the block and things, puzzle pieces have moved. And I think that he's going to be a stand-up guy, and him and Condola are going to have that baby, and that's just going to be that, because that's reflective of real life in a lot of instances. And Issa is going to have to move on. Maybe she'll have someone in the finale, or maybe she'll be alone and still figuring it out, because that fits with the theme of the show. So that's what I think regarding those three.
What do we think is going to happen with Molly and Issa? Like, what does that relationship look like for you? Because I feel like I feel like they've got to, like, come together, right? Like, they came together at the end of the last season, and I feel like I want to see my prediction. Issa and Lawrence stay together. Lawrence steps up and is, you know, a good co-parent, because that's what I want to see for Lawrence. And I want to see Molly be supportive of that, but it might take a minute, right? Like, I think it might take a few episodes for Molly to be supportive, but, like, she wants to be a good friend. I think Kelly's going to have all the jokes. Like, Kelly's going to be like, I have all the stepmom jokes.
So that's who I wanted you to ask about. Because I need a backdoor pilot episode on Kelly.
Yes.
And we do a spinoff, you know, focused on her character. That is yes. what Kelly played by Natasha Rothwell, okay? That's all I care about. That's all I need.
Kelly running around with Darren Heights.
Listen.
Something, you know. That is like what I need in my
life. I want to follow, like, her dating life. I want to meet her family.
Yes.
I want all of the background. I want, like, little Kelly. I want yes. adult Kelly. I want to see high school Kelly. Like, I want all of that.
Like a grown.
I feel like I need that.
Like a mixed ish. Like all the issues that Kenya Barris does. I do think, what I will say on the record, which you all know that I've stood 10 toes down with this, I have always been Team Molly in regards to season 4. Molly's been wrong, but I really feel endured to her only because we're all flawed. And I just, Amen. Within that friendship, I think I identify more with Molly than I do Issa. And sometimes there is breakdown, but I do agree with the both of you. I think Issa and Molly, I'd be devastated if they never made up. But again, we don't know what's around the corner, and it's a reflection of life. Sometimes there is breakdown in friendships, in relationships, and even the smallest thing. We've seen a snowflake turn into an avalanche where it's beyond repair. And maybe they may leave the door open for... You know, sometimes these series end like, well, I hope they become back friends or whatever. But my prayer, as far as storylines are concerned, I do hope that Issa and Molly reconnect. But I think we're going to see what that looks like within this season. And maybe around episode 8, things will be back to normal. Yeah. So we can get, you know, wait, is it 10 yeah. episodes or 8? I can't remember.
I think it's 10. I think it'll be 10 this year.
So right around episode 7 or 8, they'll get back on and it'll be what we know them to be.
Well, if I could smash together a Silk Sonic and a NeNe reference, the door is now closed. Past popcorn is over as we're talking about leaving the door open for Molly and Issa. Shar, thank you so much for coming and being a part of Past the Popcorn Live with us. Really, really appreciate it. Tell people where they can find and follow you and all that you're doing.
Thank you all for having me. You can follow me and find me everywhere across all platforms at Shar Says So. That's Shar with an S, and that says so, not Shar Say So.
We're going to get back to the show in just a moment, but first, Travelle's going to tell you about Raycon.
Alrighty, beautiful people. We've told y'all about Raycon's earbuds, okay, for a minute now. They have been sponsoring the show almost since we started.
They're our first sponsor.
They were our first sponsor. And listen, I know it seems like we're approaching some sort of normalcy now with Sister Pandemic, okay? It seems like for some people that, like, you can go out and about and do what you do, okay? But I promise you, you gonna need...
That's here in LA, but not in a lot of places.
Well, it's in some places. You know. Either way, people are going out and about. You're getting outside your house, okay? And you need to take your music, your podcast, your news with you, all right? The way that you can do that is with your Raycons. No matter how you're feeling about getting back out there in the world, there is no denying that it's an adjustment, okay? But when the world gets too loud, you can create your own soundtrack with Raycon wireless earbuds, all right? Sometimes you need some upbeat music to do what you got to do. Get your Beyonce going on, okay? Get your little Nas X going on, okay? Sometimes you just want to mellow out, okay? That's when you pull on the Fantasia, okay? That's when you pull on the Jasmine Sullivan, okay? Mm. Then, you know, that's what mm-hmm. you do. Other times, you know, and by y'all, I'm talking about my own personal experience. Other times, I just want to listen to somebody talk in my ear, okay? And I put on my own podcast, Fanti, available wherever you get slave-worthy audio.
Wow.
Raycons come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort, and they don't stick out of your ears. They have a 32-hour battery life and start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons, they come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it, if you're not happy, baby, you can send them back.
I will say that 32-hour battery life, that is an enormous thing, because I also have other earbuds, and they do not have a fraction of that kind of a battery life. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon. Right now, Fanti listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Fanti. That's buyraycon.com/Fanti for 15% off on your Raycons. buyraycon.com/Fanti. We're going to get back to the show.
As y'all know, our theme for today is meme culture. And, okay, I had this vision. It came to me in a dream, right, for this entire show, okay? Well, if you like it, it was my idea. If you didn't, it was Jared's idea. And so I was thinking, I had this vision, okay, for this topic after witnessing the grip, like I mentioned earlier, that these milk crates has on our community over the last few weeks. All right. Then I began thinking of all the memes that were birthed over the last year of this shit show of a life that we've been dealing with, you know, for the last year and a half or so. The memes that got us through the good times, the bad times, the trash box. That was 2020, the beginning of 2021, you know, from We Did It, Joe, to, you know, do you remember, Jared, when, you know, you would see a video and it'd be like, oh, that's a toilet, you know, roll of toilet paper. And then somebody would take a knife and cut into the toilet paper and actually a piece of cake, okay? I'm stressed.
I hated the fake cake thing. Hated it.
It was a white people thing. You know, the blacks, we didn't really, you know, do too much engaging with that. You got to get the white people something to keep them busy so they stop.
I'm sure there was somebody out there with a red cup that looked like Kool-Aid and you cut it in half and it was a cake. I know that happened somewhere. I know it did.
Okay, so there are many memes, not to mention all of the non-meme and meme-adjacent and meme-ish GIFs and videos and all of this. And we're definitely going to talk a little bit about digital blackface as well, so stay tuned. But I happen to think that if we were to take memes a little bit more seriously, we could have a rich conversation about social media, communication, society. So that's what we're going to do, all right? And joining us for this special, special conversation, you know her as one of the co-hosts of The Nod and the For Colored Nerds podcast, which they are relaunching. It's coming back. They're rebooting it. Brittany Luce, are you there? There she is.
I'm here. Welcome. I'm here.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, of course. I would never have missed this. I would never have missed this.
And we should say, for all the other people, Brittany hosts for Four Colored Nerds with Eric.
He's on vacation. It's because he listened to y'all's work episode. Okay, about labor, and now he's on vacation. So, you know, if he's not here, it's your fault.
We love to hear it. Okay, so before we get into this conversation about memes, I always feel like it's really important that we define terms. So this is how we're defining what is or isn't a meme, because quite frankly, my definition was a lot more narrow, to be honest with you. And so this is what we're talking about. This comes from online, and we're going to be using this. It says, an element of a culture or system of behavior that may be considered to be passed from one individual to another by non-genetic means, especially imitation, a humorous image, video, piece of text, etc., that is copied, often with slight variations, and spread rapidly by internet users. Now, I will tell you,
we got this from Google, y'all. FYI, we didn't write that ourselves.
Travel just found this definition, which to me was a lot broader than I thought memes were, because like, I thought of memes as like picture, text on the bottom, let's keep it pushing. But this kind of like opens up that whole concept to be a lot broader. So talk to me about what your favorite memes are before we get into the fan and the anti, which we'll explain in a moment.
My favorite meme is the red solo cup guy. You know, where he, like, the guy's holding the red solo cup and he raises his eyebrows like this.
Oh, yes.
That's the one that you, first of all, it's universal, but that's the one when you send, like, okay, if that's how you think it's going to go, or if you like it, I love it. Like, and it's just, it is so effective in every situation. The GIF is brilliant, but also, even if you just send, like, just one frame of it, just the picture alone gets the job done. It is one of my favorite memes of all time.
My best friend Michael has been in love with just sending pictures instead of GIFs now. It's gone retro, and he feels like just the pictures are enough, and I kind of love it.
I love it.
I was just going to say, we're being told from one of our other guests that y'all will see momentarily, that the person who's in that meme, his name is Conceited, apparently, and he's on Wild and Out. So shout out to, you know, shout the black creatives, I suppose.
All right. Travel, what's your favorite meme?
So I have a couple that come to mind, all right? I'm going to keep it on the Real Housewives of Atlanta trajectory from earlier in the show. And I have to give it to NeNe. There's this video from, I believe it was a reunion.
It was.
This is it.
Now why am I in it?
And you could have did it.
See, how I get wrong,
because you never apologize.
Now listen,
listen. It's perfect. It's
like
perfect.
We reference this on the show like every week.
It's perfect,
isn't it? Like it's just like, you know, sometimes you just get brought into stuff that like you were never involved in, or you bring somebody into something that they were never involved in, and it's like, let's see now how I get in it.
Exactly. Even like the white blazer to me, the spotless white blazer to me, it says NeNe is blameless. That's what it says to me. It's like NeNe is
I am pure.
She's giving angelic. She didn't do anything wrong. And you know, and I mean,
every hair is in perfect place. I'm with you. I'm with you.
R.I.P. Exactly. Every hair in the soup is perfect. But yes, R.I.P. Greg, just shout out to NeNe, the people's champ.
Yes.
Jarrett, what's your favorite meme?
It's really old, and it is like an inside joke with me and two of my like best friends. It's this photo. Go ahead, Bikram. I'll let you put it up. It's this photo of a lion in this wig, and it says, "Bitches can't take me." And like, I don't know why I love this meme so much, but it takes me out. Like the idea of this lion with this hair that is coiffed, sitting in the Serengeti somewhere, being like, "I'm too much for the girls. I'm too much." Like
the lion with the hang time.
It's the hang time. The lion with the hang time.
It's the hang time.
I don't know why, but like, I love it.
Could you imagine if the live action Lion King, if Nala came through with a little
bang? Can you imagine?
Live action, you know, Lion King. I would be here for it.
With the voice of Beyonce? Like,
ooh.
Ladies, are you ready?
They should have had Nala with the, I don't know if y'all remember the gif of Beyonce. She's performing. She has this very long ponytail and she whips it and the ponytail comes around and like, rest on her shoulder.
Yes.
That's what they should have done in the live action Lion King.
Can you imagine? That would have took me right out the spirit. It would have took me right out the spirit.
You know what though? If I think about the Lion King though, it's actually more likely that adult Simba would have had a super fly perm.
Let me be clear.
Than Nala. Like,
well,
Simba's more likely to have
Brittany, I'm going to push back on this. I actually think in the original cartoon version, it would have been more likely that Scar would have had a silk press. But that's a different conversation.
That's the queer. Go to the queer baiting episode if you want just a little bit.
Listen,
just a little bit.
If you want to know what I'm talking about, okay? Go to the queer baiting episode. You're welcome. Let's get into the fan. What do we love about meme culture in general?
One of the things that I think about that's like closely associated with memes is our responses. And when I say our, I'm talking about our. Okay. Mm. And so black, the sound of black people laughing, whether I am physically with that black person or not, it just gives me so much joy. And so, like, I find myself using, like, injecting a meme into a conversation just to throw people off, just to give them a little bit of levity, because I know they're going to laugh, and I play their laughter in my head, so then I laugh, and it's just this, you know, this ecosystem of laughter that, like, you know, black people, we deserve to laugh at all times. So that's the main thing that comes to mind when I think of, like, what I love about meme cultures, the way we can like inject levity and joy into each other's lives based on the very specific meme choice or gif choice or whatever that we use.
Brittany, What about you? What is something that you love about meme culture?
Okay, I think there's two things. One is smaller, they're economical. You can send like a screenshot of, you can send like a screenshot of a gif. And sometimes, like with the Red Solo Cup guy, people will know exactly what you mean. You can say something with either very few words or no words at all, and the other person gets it in an instant. And I love that. It's like, if somebody tells you a really wild story, and you just don't even have the words, do you know what I'm saying? You don't even know where to begin. It's like, you could just send a meme, and that just gets to the bottom of everything. It gives you more than an emoji. It's more specific than an emoji, but it's not like a wall of text. Yeah. But the other thing that I like about that is part of the reason why they can be so economical is because they work really well on both a universal level, where like any human being can sort of like look at a facial expression in a specific meme and kind of gather what the other person is feeling, like boredom, excitement, anger, sadness, like any human being can look at those memes and immediately understand what's going on. But also, I think when memes work best, it's because they're so specific. Yes. And something that I love, going back to our, you know, pointing at my hand like Travelle did, going back to how skin folk and other marginalized communities, to be honest, interact with memes, it's so fun to have something that will make us laugh in 2 seconds that white people need a Rosetta Stone to understand. Like, I just love it. I just love it. Even sometimes it's just like, they may never get it. I love that. Like, I love that.
And that's fine.
It gives that really specific shorthand. It is fun. So it's like, I love that memes can work on a universal level as well as that hyper-specific level that maybe not everybody needs to know, you know, and I like that we can have nice things sometimes. So I just love memes. They're quick, they're universal, but they're also specific.
Brittany, you actually really got a lot of what I love about memes. One of the first things I was going to say was that I like that it makes something very specific, instantly, collectively memorable. You know what I mean? Like, I love that, like, that if we think about the meme of, like, the woman in the pink blazer, like, standing looking like this. Like, we all know that moment, right? Like, we've seen her in every kind of different scenario that they've superimposed her onto. Like, I love that, like, instantly, we now all know what that is, right? Like, it's just such a perfect moment. What I also really love about it, though, is that we've been able to see memes be useful, right? Like, beyond just being funny, but, like, they can be a great way to message something politically, right? Whether it's something that's political, if it's an advertisement, or if it's for a show, or whatever it is. Like, sometimes there are great memes that come out of a show. Like, I always remember one of my favorite scandal memes is like her in that white trench coat and she's walking and the hair is bouncing. She's like, it's handled, right? Like, period. I love that shit, right? But also we've been able to see like that used for a purpose. Like, I think that there's a lot of argument that we can make that like Black Lives Matter began in a lot of memes, right? Like, it was a hashtag and it started being superimposed onto many different things. And like, it grew into a movement over the course of the last decade, a little under a decade. And like, being able to see that kind of grow in a unique and specific way. But like, ultimately, well, go ahead, Travelle.
Oh, I had a question. I wanted to see if like, if y'all feel like memes, and when I say memes, I talk about GIFs. I'm talking about, you know, a lot of people got folders on their phones with like these short video clips, you know, to respond.
A whole
and
folder.
React.
Just like.
And he, ironically, he had it already pulled up. Look at that, Brittany.
Well, somebody's prepared.
Well, Travell, you were talking about loving people, loving seeing black people laugh. I love this kind of shit where they're just like cracking up and there's no sound, right? Like, but like that kind of shit. I just love it. But go ahead, Travell.
I wanted to ask if you feel like you communicate more through memes and GIFs than like words these days, like when you're texting. Hmm. For me, my default is a GIF. It's a meme. Like, because, like you were just saying, Brittany, it encapsulates so much. You know exactly what I mean when I say it. And so I don't need to, you know, click, 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 you know, clack, clack. Mm-hmm. You know, I could just, you know, hit two buttons, send, you know, the GIF of Whitney Houston and who was that?
Natalie Cole.
Audience. Is it Natalie Cole?
Oh, Natalie Cole. And yes. That 3-point, yep.
That one. Mm-hmm. You know, I can just send it and, like, you already know mm-hmm. what I need. I don't even have to figure out how to put that into words. And so I just feel like I communicate a lot more and a lot better and more precise with a meme or a GIF.
Hmm.
Like, because, you know, I'm always saying something or texting something that somebody receives, you know, in the wrong way. And so a GIF, it removes all of that.
I don't think you only do that via text. I think you do that with your mouth sometimes. But I will say that the third one was, this was actually the third thing I wanted to say was like, listen, there ain't nobody out here better in a GIF war via text than me, right? Like,
I see the folders.
Hello? I'm ready, okay?
Okay.
Like, I come prepared. And like, I love like continuity in a GIF war. Listen, if I'm giving you Oprah memes, I'm giving you Oprah memes throughout the entire conversation. And I don't care if we're doing 30 of these, right? I love that. And you're not going to beat me, right? We'll do it for weeks if we need to and get nothing done.
Weeks. Not weeks. Not weeks. Not never weeks. Weeks.
We don't need
to. But many
now
days.
Y'all know no. What my text conversations with him look like. It's just a the lot lies. Of back and forth.
Pictogram.
I get pictogram. Tired. I get tired. And I just be like, I'm going to call you.
Go See, ahead, Brittany. I still use a lot of words. I'm verbose. I cannot help myself. Maybe once we start For Color Nerds back up again, I'm back recording again. Maybe I'll start, you know, I'll use my words for the week and then I can go back to using memes and GIFs. I prefer to use them as like conversation starters. So if something makes me completely fall out with laughter, then I will send it to somebody else. Because I want to make them laugh. I think of it sort of like as, I guess maybe, okay, in that case, maybe it's kind of like a little midday gift with mm-hmm. a T just to be like, oh, I was thinking of you. I thought you would think this was funny. And I want you to like laugh or smile at this thing. So I think that for me, they're either like sort of like a little digital present, like a little free digital present, or a way to start a conversation. And then with my fiance, I mean, he's like, the TikTok master is too much. Like people will tell him, he shares them on his Instagram stories every day. Memes and TikToks. And people will, like, it'll be my birthday or I just got a new job or something like that. And people will be like, congratulations, happy birthday. By the way, please tell your fiance, I love his TikToks. Like that is how he communicates with the world. Now he will like send me things back and forth. We'll sometimes send each other stuff back and forth. But again, it's usually like, more of like the digital free gift thing. It's like, I saw this. It made me fall out with laughter. I want you to laugh too.
I
do use it like as a response, but more so I use it to like, as a way to like, I guess, foster relationships, which I'm like, is that sad? I don't know. Is that sad? Do I have friends? I don't know.
As we get into, as we move from the fan of the things that we love, what is the anti? Travell, I'll let you start off. What are some of the things that really irk your spirit about meme culture?
I always feel a way when I am communicating with, you know, a less melanated individual. And
again, the light skin slander has got to stop.
So, okay, see, your insecurities jumped out because I was talking about white people. I wasn't talking about white people.
I'm fine.
I was talking about white folks.
Okay,
when white folks use exclusively Black-centric memes and GIFs, it always makes me itch just a little. It always makes me go, because I don't know y'all's experience finding memes and GIFs and stuff like that, but every time I search something on any one of them ugly apps, okay, there's always a host of white folks. And I have to, like, search and find, you know, something with a black person. And so in my head, if I have to search and find the GIF or the meme or whatever with a black person, because I have to cross all of these white folks, assuming the white people have that same experience, you pass it all of these white GIFs to find a black one. It just feels off to me. I don't know. I can't really place it. It just feels like Make sure y'all go follow, check out everything that Brittany is doing at For Colored Nerds is the podcast that she does with Eric Eddings, which is coming back this fall. It's amazing. Do all of that. We'll get back to the show in just a few minutes, but first, hear about some of the other shows on Max Fun.
Hey, podcast fan. We'd like to get a better idea of who you are and what you care about. So we have a quick favor to ask. If you have a few minutes to spare, please go to MaximumFun.org/ad survey. There, we've got a short anonymous survey that will take about 5 minutes to fill out. Plus, if you finish it, you'll get a 10% discount on merch at the Max Fun store. Max Fun shows have always relied on support from our members and always will. This survey will help keep the few ads we do run interesting and relevant to you. That's MaximumFun.org/ad survey. ADSURVEY. All one word. And thanks for your help.
I'm Jesse Thorne. This week on Bullseye, David Byrne on the Talking Heads easing back into live performance and the magic of doo-wop.
You don't get it very much, people doing dippity-dip-dip, whoa-whoa, ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma. You don't get a lot of that.
Listen to Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
It's time for
Black History is happening every day.
This week I was listening to last week's show and I was like, God damn, that thing is long. Okay, so one of my favorites, I felt like we had to talk about this one on a meme culture episode. We're just going to roll it and let you see it, and you know it.
Maybe in time, you can really see that. But right now, me and you are through. Maybe we can't see. Never.
Oh my God. Scarlett Takes a Tumble is one of like the first YouTube videos that like really went viral and crazy that I remember. Mm-hmm. And like I had such a hard time laughing because that looked so painful. And like she rolls over and she's like, oh. But then I had to remind myself that she shot this video and then posted it. So she must be okay.
Well, so here's the thing. So I'm glad it, you know, and I know, you know, people might feel a way about that clip, but I'm glad we did it because, you know, one, first of all, her name's not Scarlett. Her real name is Paige. I won't say her last name, although she was interviewed in a story that I'm reading off of. But her first name is Paige. And she talks about how this video got up on YouTube. She says that, like, she would always get on top of her table and sing. That was something that she had done before. And she was recording herself and then was wanted to send it to a friend, but the file was too big or something like that. And so she uploaded it on this very small website that no one had really heard about for videos, because this is, what, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? This is a while ago, right? And that site was YouTube. And from there, she said in the interview that that this was back in the day on YouTube where, like, even short videos took, like, you know, an hour, 2 hours to upload. And so she was like, she forgot to come back and set it on private. And so
no
that's
way.
How it was this public video that now, you know, is in, you know, the history books, if you will, as it relates to, one, the history of YouTube, but also this conversation around meme culture and whatnot.
I did not know that. That's such an interesting piece of, like, the story with this piece of Black history. Okay.
Yes. I'm going to tweet out the article that she did talking about the moment and the whatnot. So if y'all are interested in more information about her, it'll be there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is a show for us. We thank y'all so much for buying tickets and coming to spend a little bit of time with us here on our show. And thank you so much for the invitation from the London Podcast Festival for having us. We really, really appreciate y'all being here.
Yes.
I want to let y'all know that y'all can find our show every Thursday. We come out on all of the different platforms where you get your podcasts. Look for Fanti. And again, thank you for being here.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you all so much for joining us for the first well, I keep saying it's the first Fanti live show, but Bianca, who you all met earlier, keeps reminding me via text message that technically we did do a live show on Clubhouse for the Clubhouse episode that we did. Go ahead, check it back out in your feeds. And so either way, thank you all so much for joining us. We are so grateful for your support. As always, if you would like to become a financial member of the Fanti fam and help us bring all this good to you every single week, you can do that at MaximumFun.com/join, okay? Special thanks to our guests. Shout out to Char Jossel, Brittany Luz, Corrice. Shout out to our live feedback folks, Sheena, Jordan, and my girl, Bianca. Ow, okay. You know, I had to give her a little something special because, you know, she's special, you know.
Right, yeah, and you would hear about it if you didn't. So you got to make sure to do that. She said, period. We want to say thank you so much to the team behind the scenes making this happen, specifically Bikram, who is one of the big bosses at Maximum Fun and has been super, right. Oh, you know what? We should do that for Bikram, too. Bikram Chowdhury! Our producer, Laura Swisher!
Oh, wait. Before you yank us off the air, Bikram, somebody mentioned in the comments that we didn't talk about the milk crates. And you are right. We did it because we forgot.
Get Brittany back. Get her back on the phone. We'll take this back from the top.
But see, here's the thing. If you want to hear my commentary about the milk crates specifically, you need to listen to the actual podcast episode, you know, that will be coming out, okay? And then I'll give you a little something special. I won't forget that time. Shout out to you for being the person who's like, you said you was going to talk about milk crates and you ain't talking about milk crates.
Listen, taking notes and checking things off and all that. All right. This is where I would normally say, after I get
a call. Oh, he got something in his throat, y'all. Make sure y'all can follow us, subscribe to the show, all of that stuff. Become a member at Fanti Podcast on all of the social medias. You can always email us if you have thoughts, questions, comments, or concerns, okay, at fanti@maximumfun.org. Now go.
Bikram, get ready to hit the button because this
is a production.
Is a production of Maximum Fun.
Period.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Do y'all feel like
you're muted?
I'm not muted.
Brittany, can you hear me?
I can hear both of y'all.
He always messes stuff up, Brittany. That's just what it is, you know?
It's because I opened up the phone and I done messed up all my sound. It's me. It's my fault. I still can't hear you. It's fine.